Our reading this evening is from the Old Testament, from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 55. And we read from verses 1 through to verse 13. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendour. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy, and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and hills will burst into song before you. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign, which will not be destroyed. May God bless to us our reading from his word. Amen. Seems to me that having a bottle of water with you these days is like a fashion accessory, isn't it? When you think about it, years ago, they didn't seem to be in existence at all. If you were thirsty, you went to the tap, and now you've got to buy the water. I mean, it's quite expensive. Bottles of water aren't cheap. We've got a stack of bottles in the back there if anyone feels thirsty. I wonder if the deacons 40 years ago would have thought of that. I doubt it very much indeed. The reality is, of course, is that we are thirsty people, and we are advised to be hydrated, to make sure that we drink plenty in order that we might be healthy and sound in mind, and that's sound advice. And that's what I thought about this text this evening. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. There were no bottled waters in Isaiah's time, not one little bit. But around old Jerusalem in his time, there were people who would be selling water. They would be selling waters from their goat skins and their containers to people who would buy water, because it was a rare commodity in the city of Jerusalem. Yeah. And that's where I'm sure Isaiah gets his idea from here as he writes these words. But let's remember for a moment that these were written in the context of Babylonian captivity. The children of Israel, some 2,500 years ago, were taken to the land of Babylon because they had sinned against the Lord. They were people who suffered greatly. They were strangers in an alien land. God was punishing them for their apostasy and sin. They didn't seem to have any real hope. And yet here comes Isaiah the prophet and speaks these wonderful words. And if you read chapter 55 of Isaiah's prophecy, it is full of hope. It is full of hope for a hopeless people. It is full of encouragement to those who feel discouraged. And certainly more than else, it gives the indication of the greatness of God and of the affirmation that those who come to him and believe in him will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. And the mountains and the hills will sing before you. There's a sense of rejoicing here as well. When we drink of the Lord's goodness, his mercy, and his love. So in this bleak spiritual wilderness, God's word from his messenger was being proclaimed, and it was a wonderful invitation. What sort of invitation was it then? Well, first of all, it was a gracious invitation. The grace of God is extended here to all who would come to him. The Lord reminds the people here of his goodness and grace and love. And you see, that's the wonder of the God we believe in. He doesn't wait for people to go and search for him. He reaches out. He takes the initiative to seek us when we are lost. All we need is to respond to that. Jesus said that he came into the world to seek and save that which is lost. It is as if God here is saying to his people, you're in the midst of despondency and despair. You have sinned so greatly against my desires for you as a nation. You have bowed down to other gods. But here I am through my messenger, recognizing your human condition of sin and inviting you to take of me and to receive from me that which no one else can give, of mercy, forgiveness, and love. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. That's what he's doing. The God we worship, dear friends, is a God of grace. He's a God of love. He reaches out to us in our need. He seeks to quench the great thirst that we have in our lives. Life can be tough. We can find ourselves in a distant land of our own making sometimes. Our rebelliousness, our sin, our living far away from God. I know, as I say often on a Sunday night, I'm preaching to a Sunday night congregation. But we all need to hear this message, because sometimes we're all in that situation. We remember the story that Jesus gave of the prodigal son who went to the distant land. It didn't work out, did it? It was a tragic story that would have ended in his demise had not he made a decision to come home to his father's love. And that's the very essence of the gospel. Ever since the disaster of the Garden of Eden, when our first parents failed to obey God's instruction, we have a God who reaches out, who yearns for those who come to him. Yn eden cofia anibeth, bendithio'n collaist, rhif y glwydd. We understand what those words mean, don't we? That Eden was lost because of our sin and rebelliousness against God. And this world doesn't seem to have any offers of relief from that. It was the famous poet Lord Byron who described his experience vividly. He said, I drank every cup of joy, drank early, deeply drunk, drank draughts which common millions might have drunk, then died of thirst because there was no more to drink. The world can offer you nothing. It is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to know that he is the fount of every blessing, and no one else can satisfy like him. The invitation is for us all to come. None are excluded. He did not come, Jesus said, to call the righteous, but sinners. And that's why we have this wonderful invitation to come to the one who can quench every thirst in our lives tonight. The thirst for love, the thirst for grace, the thirst for forgiveness. And to know that only he, through the wonder of his word, can really bring us that comfort and blessing. Remember the woman at the well of Samaria? Remember her situation? Remember she came at a different time from all the other women at the well because she was someone who had five husbands and her reputation was in shatters, really. No one else would be with her in the middle of the day. And you know, when I think of that story, I think of the disciples coming to the well of Jacob and Jesus sending them away. Do you know why he sent them away? Because if they'd seen this woman approach, they'd have dragged Jesus away from her. But they wouldn't have thought that their master would speak to someone like this. But he sent them into the town to buy food because he knew she was coming and extended to her this wondrous truth. Drink of this water and you will thirst again. Drink of that which I give you and you will never thirst again. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. If it's a gracious provision, then dear friends, it's a generous provision. The generosity of God. You know, if you read this passage, and if you read it in its entirety, it's quite amazing. It speaks not only of an invitation to come, but it outlines the reality of what God provides. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Let the wicked forsake his ways. He speaks of the rain falling from heaven. It does not return to it without watering the earth. So, God provides. God is a God who provides. And he has given us that provision in the beautiful creation he has made. And everything around it that is... I know we're complaining at the moment. We don't like this sun, do we? But I know most of you, when you come in here in the cold February night, you'll be saying, oh, my Lord. Yeah? You'll be saying, it's cold. Oh, dear, dear. As you're saying, it's warm now. It's unbearably warm. But the reality is, all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Then thank the Lord. Yes, thank the Lord for all his love, the beauty of creation. With Meg and I on the beach every morning, and I look out into the beautiful Carmarthen Bay over to Rustilly there. Wow, I think I'm in a cathedral. Yeah, it's really lovely. It really is. And especially in the morning like this morning, it was so really beautiful, whether the tide is in or the tide is out. It's a wonderful sight to see. I think to myself, why do I want to go on a cruise in a boat, huh? When I can go to Kemshidan and I can go on the Millennium Park. Ah, don't need to do that. All of the services is of God's provision. Yet the greatest provision, the care, the compassion, is in the one whom he sent to fulfill these words. And enables us to know that Jesus has come. The man who spoke to the woman at the well of Samaria is the one who quenched her thirst. She became the first missionary. She went into the town of Sychar and said, I have met with the Messiah. I have met with him. He is all that I need. And he is the one that all that we need. Because he is the one that provides everything in terms of what we find here. He gives us living waters. He gives us food for our souls. And his teachings of love and compassion and grace embarrass the world out there with its arrogance and its greed. We just have to look at the world situation at the moment and see that. The claims and counterclaims of politicians in every part of the world seek to be building their own particular empires with no sense of tolerance or understanding of others. It's evil out there, it's dark out there. And there are people who are thirsting in our world today for justice and righteousness and truth. Where do we find it? Here. Because he says in verse 10, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire. Do you see what the prophet Isaiah is saying here? There is one who comes. He comes like rain and snow from heaven, descending upon a lost and sinful world in our sin and rebelliousness. He will accomplish what is his heart's desire. What is God's desire here? That all might come to him. What was God's intent in sending in the fullness of time one who would fulfill all righteousness? What about the words of Isaiah? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus has come to fulfill this, to quench the thirst in our hearts, to bring us into a relationship with God that we are his children. That enables us to be the means of bringing help and support to others in the world. That enables us to live our lives with confidence that wherever the darkness and evil of the world, then we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us and continues to love us. Because that's the certainty of his provision. And it's a wonderful, wonderful gift of grace. It is so precious, dear friends. And I know you know it because I'm preaching to the converted tonight, but I want you to be encouraged in it. I want you to know that you are children of God by the grace that God has given. He is the one who has given us everything. He died that we all might come into this relationship of grace. And the offer is not merely for the basic necessities of life. It is not that we just get by. No. No. No, it's for wine and milk. Nothing but the best. And that's what Jesus offers to all who would come to him. It was John Newton who wrote, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in the believer's ear. It heals his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears. Do you know him tonight? I pray that you do. Enter into a deeper relationship with him. Let him quench the thirst that is in your life tonight. And be sure, you know, the thing is that Isaiah says to the people here, you know, why do you waste your life, you know, on those things that are worthless? Why do you take time to follow the ways of the world? You know, I offer you something much more. And Christ offers us life in his fullness. The fullness of life that is in him alone. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Why do you waste your life? And that's why Jesus offers us that life. We will never thirst when we come to him. We will never be in need. That doesn't mean that we won't have to face the problems and anxieties and the fears of life. No, not for a moment. God doesn't offer us a rose-strewn path along this life. But what he does provide with us is that presence far more precious than the plastic bottle you've got in your pocket to quench your thirst, your natural thirst. You have a promise from God. I will neither leave you nor forsake you. Turn to me in your hour of need, and I will be there, comforting and blessing you along the way, giving you that eternal life that is for those who trust and believe in him. So, dear friends, not just a generous provision, but a provision that is there for us for all of our days. When we come to him, we will never, ever thirst again. And so, if it's a gracious invitation, if it is a generous provision, it is a means as well of great rejoicing and thanksgiving. That's what we find. There are great expectations here. Great expectations. Give ear to me and come to me. Hear me and your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. It was a word of hope that he gave. And you shall go out with joy. And that's what the word of God tells us here. And the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. There is, if you like, that joy that comes in the knowledge of God and his provision and grace. And that's something the world cannot begin to offer for you. I was reading a story when I was preparing this message about a ship that was stuck in the sea, and water had depleted. There was no water on board, and of course there was great thirst. There was great thirst. They couldn't take the water from the sea because obviously it was salt water that would exasperate the situation. They seemed to be in great despondency and despair. And then they saw another ship coming by, and the other ship said, "Put your buckets in the water." And they said, "No, we can't. Put your buckets in the water," they said. And they said, "We can't. It is seawater. We'll die." But in the end, they put their buckets in the water, and without realizing it, they'd come into the great Amazon basin where the Amazon River was coming into the sea. So no longer was it salt water. It was fresh water. Water of renewal. Water of hope, whereby their lives were saved. Why didn't they listen in the first place? They'd got lost. They were fearful for their lives. They were parched. They were thirsty. "Put your buckets over the water." "No," they said, "we won't do that." But when they did, they realized they weren't where they expected to be. God had led them to the source of the Amazon River, and the water that they filled their buckets was fresh water coming into the sea. We are pilgrims in a barren land, dear friends. We are often in a world where we cannot see anything other than sin and rebelliousness, darkness and fear. And we say to ourselves, "What can we do? What can we do?" But God is leading us. God is taking us from that situation and bringing us to a situation where we can draw from him, when we trust and believe in him, when we take his word seriously, because then we come to the living waters, the waters from which we will never be thirsty again, and the waters that will satisfy our every need because of what God has accomplished for us. So, dear friends, it's a gracious invitation that God gives to us tonight. We will never thirst again when we come to this water. It doesn't cost us anything. Not like the old streets of Jerusalem where people have to buy the water. No, it's completely free. The gift of God is free grace to all who would come. The generosity of God is all here. The way that God will seek the lost and reach out to us in our need, and that we might return to him and know him and be sure of his love, power and his love in our lives. A companion, one who is a help. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. I have known people, and you have known people in this and other churches, who have had nothing in terms of worldly possessions, but have had something far more valuable. They had a trust and belief in Jesus that enabled us to face the storms of life in the confidence that God is a generous God who has provided so much for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the very nature and character of God. He reaches out to us. He yearns for us to come home to him. And that's the joy we can know in his life. And that great promise, the great expectations that are ours now. We are strangers in this world, but we shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. I always think this would be a lovely hymn to sing in a funeral now. Huh? I wonder. Might be one of my choices now, Yvonne. You will go out in peace and be led... you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. Wow. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Isn't that wonderful? This will be the Lord, for the Lord we know, for an everlasting sign, which will never be destroyed. Never be destroyed. The powers of evil and death were conquered on Calvary. He arose on that third day, victorious, giving us that wonderful hope that is grounded in what God has provided for us. The water of life is ours. Let us come to the fount of every blessing. Let us sing of the grace that is His. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the throne of God. He, to rescue me from danger, interposed His precious blood. That's the reality of the generosity of the God we believe and trust will be with us even to eternity. That's the joy we know. Let's remember it. The next time you use your plastic bottle to quench your thirst, remember these words tonight. Drink from Him, and you will never ever be thirsty again.